Well, today's message is going to attempt to answer that question. How are things going? And the answer is things are so-so. And rather than continue with the puns, I really want to open this talk today with a music video that I think is very, very appropriate. You'll recognize somebody in this video, by the way.
I've been a long time running. I never knew then what I know now. That the fruits, they always come in, but you can't go around just knocking them down. It takes a long time to show in. We plant the seeds then and we look at them now. But the roots are always growing, no matter if I'm there or never around.
Whatever grows will grow, whatever dies will die, whatever works will work, whatever flies will fly, whatever fails will fail, what's meant to soar will soar. I am planting seeds, nothing
it's like your whole life. You've been training for this moment, and when the time comes, you just disown it, meaning you just surrender, don't control it, not interested in the clay pots and molded, or sitting next to the path trying to unfold it, or waiting for the fruits to fall down toward you. Let it go, and now you're flowing, feeling quite gorgeous, so you take steps away instead of towards it. What a rush, feeling freedom with nothing to hold. We've been taught that what you touch will always turn to gold, and now we're learning when we let it go, it overflows with no credit to take, cause no credit is home. A higher power working deeper where the seeds are sown. And when the seeds are true, then there's seeds of gold. But the real gold is joy when life starts to flow. And when it does, you just smile, cause now you know.
I spent a long time running. I never knew then what I know now. Let the fruits, they always come in, but you can't go around just knocking them down. It takes a long time to show in. We plant the seeds then, and we look at them now. But the roots are always growing, no matter if I'm there or never around. Whatever grows will grow, whatever dies will die, whatever works will work, whatever flies will fly, whatever fails will fail, what's meant to soar will soar. I am planting seeds, whatever grows,
yep, will grow. When it grows, it grows.
Whatever
and when it dies, it dies. Come on.
Works,
if it works, it works.
Flies, will
let it fly, let it
whatever
fly.
Fails, will fail.
When it fails, it fails.
Meant to soar, will
come
soar.
On, it soars, it soars.
I am planting seeds. Whatever
grows,
let it grow.
Let it
whatever
grow.
Dies, will
if it dies, it
whatever
dies.
Whatever works, will
and
grow.
When it works, it
whatever
works.
Flies,
yeah.
Will fly.
Let it fly, let it
whatever
fly.
Fails, will fail.
If it fails, it fails.
Meant to soar.
Don't you just love the energy of that video? And I really wanted to open my talk with this today because it very much is on topic. Well, actually, it covers about one side of the coin of what I want to talk about today. Today we are looking at the parable of the sower. And one of the things that's really neat about parables, and this parable in particular, is that it forces you to ask the question, what did Jesus mean? What is the message that this parable is sending? And even Jesus' disciples had to ask him for clarification of just, what in the world are you talking about? And what's really neat, because even people who choose to look at the literal aspect of the scriptures and say that everything had to have happened exactly the way it was written, when it comes to the parables, there's an understanding that it's all about code and it's all about figuring it out. This story, the parable of the sower, is told in all three of the synoptic gospels. It's an intricate part in each and every one of their good news releases. And according to the story, a sower goes out to sow seed. And as he does so, some of the seed fell on the path, and the birds came along and they ate it up. Some of the seeds fell on rocky ground where there was very little soil. And it sprang up quickly because the soil wasn't very deep. However, it quickly withered in the sun because it lacked any roots of any substance. And some seed fell among the thorns, but the thorns grew up and choked it. Lastly, some seed fell on rich soil and it produced fruit 100 or 60 or 30-fold. This parable is more than a parable. This parable is really an allegory. And if you want to know what the difference is, an allegory is kind of like a parable, but on steroids. And so as we delve into the metaphysics of this story, I want to start by issuing the usual reminder that when you're looking at the metaphysics of a story, it's important for you to understand that you are all of the characters, you are all of the elements of that story. Just like when you dream, you are all of the characters in your dreams. So what this parable is all about, the parable of the sower, is all about consciousness. The seed represents many things. It definitely represents the call to growth that is necessary to live, to reside in the kingdom of God. And since there is only one power, one source, active in the universe and in our lives, we always are immersed in spirit, very much the way a fish is always immersed in water. I don't know if you recall the old Peanuts cartoons, and there was a character in there that was nicknamed Pigpen. And he was called Pigpen because wherever he went, there was this shroud that absolutely surrounded him of a cloud of dirt and dust. And sometimes Pigpen even relished being like that and made the claim that some of this dust is the dust of ancient civilizations. And so we carry around with us that same immersion in the kingdom. And so the seed also represents divine substance that always is not just present, but always we are inundated by it. The first place that Jesus talks about the seed falling is on the path. There the seed just sits because the path is so dense from being trampled upon that the path really is incapable of absorbing the seed, of receiving it. And you know, dense is not a very kind term. Sometimes in a very unkindly way, we may speak of somebody that we regard as intellectually challenged as being dense. Years ago when I was working, some of the warehouse workers talked about one of their peers, one of their co-workers, and referred to him as Granite Head. It was a really cruel nickname, to say the least. But it does describe a mentality, an awareness that is too thick to let the message of the kingdom in. In this case, Jesus says that the evil one comes and steals away what was sown in that individual's heart. I'm sure that if we tried, we could all come up with people we know that we are tempted to place in this box. We all have folks, maybe right in our own family or a circle, that we think just don't get it. And that's fine. One of the challenges I issue today is that even among the enlightened, and at times even within ourselves, there are moments in which we revert, we fall back into that path consciousness. Then Jesus talks about the seed that falls onto rocky ground. This seed represents a consciousness that hears the word of God and jumps all over it with great, great joy. However, it's not deep-rooted or grounded into the heart, and so it tends to be short-lived. I know in my lifetime, I have been in this place many, many times. I hear something or I read something, and on an intellectual level, I am all excited about it. For a short time, I would go around and use all of the buzzwords associated with the new concept that I have picked up from a book or whatever. But then, with the passage of time, it slowly fades away and drifts out of my awareness. And this is a frequent occurrence when we try to become enlightened strictly by researching and reading a lot of spiritual books or self-help books. We try to think our way into spiritual growth rather than allow it to take root in our hearts and in our souls, or more correctly, to allow it to grow from the spiritual seeds that all of us already carry in our hearts. It's part of the Christ that dwells within us. Jesus then goes on to talk about the seeds that fall among the thorns. This one is really, really tough for me anyway, personally. In this case, the message of the kingdom is heard. The message of the kingdom is understood. It is well received, but then it ends up getting choked off by the world. When I was putting this together, the first image that I had is the innocence of a little child who is absolutely dwelling in the kingdom, singing and dancing in the kingdom. And eventually, as that child grows up, the thorns of the world try to reach out and choke off some of that joy, some of that loving presence that is being breathed in and out by, in every single moment by that child. Remember, we are talking about levels of consciousness here. So this is the case of an awareness, at least in part, of what the kingdom is all about and how it is rooted in our hearts and souls, but gets choked off by the world. This is the case of somebody who knows better in both mind and heart, but ends up succumbing to the pressures of the world. I think a very perfect example of what's going on right now is somebody who by nature really is an open, kind, and loving individual, but is so frightened by the coronavirus that he or she feels compelled to hoard things during the current crisis. This is somebody who just can't let go when the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of the world collide. I like to think of it as a Judas mentality. And I know it's a very popular theme in Unity that Judas was a cohort of Jesus. and planned with him the betrayal in order to make the events fall into place. And that's fine if that's what you, you know, really think happened, or you, you know, really fits in with your awareness. I have no knocks about that. But for me, when I think of Judas, I think of an individual who came face to face with the reality of the Christ and then said, you know, I can't do this. I just can't go in that place with all that's going on in the world. And so I believe he sold out. Again, this isn't something that just happens to other people. All of us have moments when we struggle with what we know. All of us have times that are hit so hard by the harsh realities of the world and the messages that we get, that if we want to come out on top, we have to have the biggest mansion, and we have to have the best cars parked in our garage, and we have to accumulate as much money as we possibly can before we die. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with any of that prosperity. At least until we let it own us. Lastly, Jesus talks about the seeds falling on rich soil. And the rich soil represents a higher consciousness, a consciousness that extends beyond the intellect, beyond the mind, and is deeply rooted in the heart and soul. It is a knowing at the most intrinsic level that filters into every fiber, every fabric of our being. And it's when we are in this consciousness that we bear rich fruit. That gets translated out in so many ways. Song, dance, joy, sensitivity, compassion, love. But like all of the other stages of awareness, in this consciousness, again, we have our moments. There are times where we may be dwelling in this awareness, but sometimes we allowed it to fade, even if only briefly. And the opposite is also true. We may live our lives in a lower consciousness, but occasionally experience brief glimpses as to what the kingdom is all about, because somebody smiled at us, or somebody offered an unexpected kind word or a gesture. Because the things about those seeds is that they just want to take root and they want to grow. They are always searching for that fertile soil. But I want to extend the message here a bit and tie it back into the opening video. And that opening video was all about planting seeds. And it sent the message that not only do we receive seeds into our awareness, into our consciousness, into our spiritual growth, into our experience, but we are also planters of the seed. And this is something that is really important for us to understand. In nature, when a plant takes root in rich soil, it grows, it flourishes, and it eventually does what? It spews forth new seed, and it does so in great abundance. And it is really key for us to understand this. Last year in the spring, Susan and I looked out at our bedroom window right about this time of the year. And there's a parcel of land there that is shared by our roofmates. Our roofmates are people that we share a common wall with in our townhouse. And they had planted half of this small parcel of land with beautiful flowers and plants. And as we looked, it was just so starkly obvious that our half had nothing. It was barren. And it dawned on us, duh, we can plant too and make this area so much more than just soil and mulch. It just never had occurred to us until it hit us in the face. And so we asked our neighbor for some help, and she graciously coached us on what to plant and how to go about it. We all are creatures. We are creations of the Creator. We are beloved sons and daughters of God. And so it is in our DNA not just to receive the seeds, but to spread them, to spew them forth. As we grow spiritually, it is ours to participate in this ongoing process of creation. It is ours to spew forth seeds. And this next part is really important. And not to be discriminating when we do so. Of course, we want to plant seeds in rich soil. But according to the parable, the sower just planted those seeds and scattered them in a non-selective manner. And so the message is, while it might be more comfortable to try to plant seeds with people who are strictly of the same mind as we are, the same heart as we are, the same color that we are, the same politics that we are, the same religion that we are, we're called to just let it loose everywhere with everyone. Our spirituality, our awareness, our consciousness is not meant to be compartmentalized. It's not meant to be something that we turn on and we turn off at any given moment. Because flowers bloom even when the skies are gray, and they give off their seed, letting them land where they will, with a silent prayer that they take root. The essence of our seed, the essence of who we are, is to be loving, period, and not to choose whom we love based on differences. And yes, some of the seeds that we share fall on surfaces that are dense, rocky, and thorny. And some of the people that we are kind to or that we love may not receive it all that well, or may be too afraid to accept it. And some of the people that we share it with may be hurtful and reject it. But if we worry and fret about this and hold back, what we really are doing is we're subjecting ourselves to have our awareness to try to survive among the thorns. But when we are really flourishing, when we are deeply immersed in the consciousness of the kingdom, it does not matter. You do it because the kingdom of God is within you. And this is exactly what the kingdom of God is all about. It is from this consciousness of the kingdom that we bear kindness. It is in this awareness that we listen to one another and to that still small voice. It is from this consciousness that we understand. It is from this place that we behold the Christ in ourselves and absolutely in one another. And it's from this place that we reach out to one another. It is from this Eden that we sing and dance in joy. It is from this knowing that we are filled with compassion. It is from this knowing that we love. And it is from this knowing that we thrive in peace, being who we really are and doing that, flourishing in a way in which it was intended. And so I'm going to invite you now to please join me as we take this to prayer and meditation.